Okay, end of war. We can use a lot of this story that is going on right now. Follow it closely. And if this becomes a kind of a very prolonged war, which is possible, never got time to write this book. How to end the war. Or we call it World Peace One. And we can make interesting, imaginative, it's just me, scenarios. One could be that this was going on now with Trump winning the war, the election, and then Biden's gang going completely nuts, and Trump's guys starting to speak the same way as them, agitating, stirring it up even more, heavy, threatening, you know, towards Russia. And but then behind the curtain, there could be a trick there, and we could just put other characters into it and make it an interesting. If nothing else, optional destiny of all this. That could be a positive one. So they sit and talk, and we got this Gaudiya Vaishnava lady there. She's just praying, and going through, you know, deep inner crisis, you know, how to act here. And she thinks about the Kurukshetra war and the Mahabharata, and, you know, this is going to be the next Kurukshetra war, and maybe it is. How to avoid it, just as Krishna and all these devotees try to stop the war. Maybe we can avoid it this time. So we kind of weave the action around that fundamental theme there. And we put Tulsi Gabba there as the lady. And then she just sits there and, you know, does her meditation, japa there, in front of Radha and Krishna and Nishinga Dev. You know, protect us, all of us on this planet, you know, and what shall I do? I'm in this position. How can I influence it? And she was fortunate because she doesn't have to sit in the president's seat, which is a very dangerous seat to be in, and super stressful, and not in the military. Top military leader, which is also a heavy, tough seat to sit in. So they put a tough, macho guy there, you know, who likes to do those kind of things. Young, cocky, good. And she is on top of intelligence, because she is intelligent and wise. So she's in a very good position, and therefore she gathers her team. What strategy are we going to do here? How to use our intelligence to avoid this war, to make peace instead of war? And now she's, you know, like, she's a military officer, but she starts a peace movement using the same knowledge as the military use, but, you know, taking up these old wise one, Chanakya Pandit, and this Chinese one, and gathering a team around there, you know, these generals and colonels who are just not the kind of, you know, become the musketeers, but the opposite. We're going to make peace here. We're going to fight for peace, not by violence, but by being intelligent and wise. So there, they go, and it appears that they come up with this tricky thing, that they pretend to be warmongers just as the others are. During that period before the new president comes to power, actually takes up his position, and they are secretly in communication with the guys on the other side, the so-called enemy, who's not an enemy at all. And he's in on it. But yes, you know, we're going to agitate them so they really go mad, you know, thinking they are the supreme, powerful lords of Earth. And they will send some missiles on you. But don't worry, they won't go that far. Just tolerate them, can you? And the Russian, you know, yeah, well, so what is the point here? Yeah, because what happens then is, I have promised that I should stop this 24 hours after I take the seat as a president. So what we could do then is that when that happens and these old bad guys, the binding gang, the warmongers, you know, they're out, poof, then I go over to you. We sit down. And we will finish it in 24 hours. And then, you know, the Russian guy says, but, you know, you're going to come on what conditions? On your conditions. Okay, that sounds like something. And then he gets inspired. You know, the American guy says, but don't get too proud and try to be the emperor, new emperor, okay? Let's just start working together as you do with the others. All right. And then they're very happy. And you know, we have this Russian leader there. He leans back and he's crying. And you can see his weaknesses, you know, that he's so stressed out. He's been working for 20 years for his country as a leader, and now he never thought he would end up in this mess. And now he actually meets someone there, the one who's supposed to be the enemy, and reach out as a friend. And they actually become friends. Because they did that a little bit when last time that Western president visited. He seems to be a nice guy. You know, and if by God's grace, by Krishna's grace, that Vaishnavi there, who can be surfing around and having, not getting butchered in the power play up there, low profile, but the president listens to that wise lady, and the, you know, there's a little team there. People are actually intelligent. young thinking wiser vegetarians, peace loving, you know, that kind of, those kind of people are coming in there, and that's by the mercy of God. And one of them is a Vaishnava, a devotee of God. But we could make this, you know, therefore it's so good to follow what's actually going on, because we can use those intrigues and weave the main intrigue of this book, or the entertaining intrigue, where maybe the same people that I just spoke about will make a complete total mess, depending on which choices they make. And we can get really psychological here, you know, because maybe this, now this president coming up, I mean, I'm talking Trump, but we can change names if we don't want to do it that way, can actually have completely cheated people, and is actually even worse, warmonger, actually a big Hitler type, Hitler reincarnate. And once he gets into the power seat, he kind of, yep, now, people, I'm your ruler, and we're gonna rule the world. And he goes, you know, nuclear and all of that, or tries, completely mad, power mad, and deranged, worse than Hitler, and using the social media, you know, perfectly, having all these intelligent people around who after a while they don't dare to go against him, you know, he has all the soldiers and building up bigger army, because now he has all these followers, you know, half of the America's heavy guys. Yeah, we are the greatest. Make America great again by warring all over. That can also happen. And maybe he is going that direction. But then there is this lady there who's actually military, and she's coming in there with those colonels, those old wise military leaders, top level, and because now they have created a brain trust think tank, and maybe even that programmer, upstart billionaire, is there some kind of joker in the game. But you got, you know, the real, and we can bring in the whole knowledge there from Chanakya, study him again, and the other one, the wisdom of war, and that can make it extra interesting. So I don't know how we handle that, but there could be, you know, alternative. Yeah, we can put it like this. We have flashbacks often, right? In this case, we don't have flashbacks, we have flash forwards. So at a certain point, any certain point where they are in a critical, crucial, decisive moment where the decisions of a person or several persons can mean enormous differences. Okay, so they sit there in a room, for instance, and then they make a decision and they go with that, and they will follow what happens. I don't know if this is possible, but possibly possible. And then, you know, so we make a whole storyline there. But then we get back to that room again. And they make another decision. And then we follow that storyline. And we can do something. I'm just thinking now in video terms. There, a film, we can, if it's a TV series, one can color grade the different storylines differently. So they can have three of them parallel or something like that. And switching between them. Three optional, you know, results, story, resultant stories for each one of those decisions they are standing in between. And the third one I had here was, well, anyway, still they are, you know, they are in that really sensitive position there, that she or they, you know, the good officers, the real military, you know, those with the wisdom. Trying to convince that man who is now in charge, you know. And maybe they're trying to show him, you do this, then this will happen. You do that, then that will happen. Maybe they made a film of each. That's a good idea. And they sit down, you know, we're going to show you the film. And then they first show the first film. And then we see that. And it can go on for 5 minutes or something. Because it's going to be action in there. And then they're back in the room. But if you do this, and you have these very smart people sitting there, then this will happen. And he sits there, you know, eating popcorn or whatever. He's not very experienced, but he has a good heart, you know. He's unbalanced. So he can go this way, that way. It's, you really have to be psychologically in tune with him to get him where you want him. So they have experts, you know, involved here. How to get him to make the right decisions. We can get into a whole psychology field there of people behind the screen, you know. Great psychologists and personal development, you know, people who are more like spiritual guides, you know, and we can get into all that. Which, of course, our Tulsi character will arrange. You know, how, you know, all this subliminal work and subconscious level things, you know, objects sitting in his room and things just popping up on his screen. Just making him feel good and feel loving, you know, and all those things. Completely opposite to dystopian. Again, we have this whole thing going on there, and the, then we have to also show it from down on the floor, on the ground, among the ordinary people. And you know, here we have the rich guy, the billionaire. He's just sitting a little bit beside. He's not a military guy. He doesn't understand all that junk anyway. But what he does is this. That when you have a country there, which is often, you know, we're talking proxy wars. So there's always this little country on the border between the superpowers, right? And in that country, that's where the fight is going to be, and the fight is going to be done by the people there for the sake of the big ones. They don't have to waste any soldiers. So and a rich guy, he arranges his people's grassroots movement. He takes charge of the media in that country, or something like that, or starts a very powerful media, where he starts to teach these people the way to handle the situation to make peace. You know, there's this Geneva law that if your commander tells you to do something that is against the Geneva law, then you have the right to disobey, or you're even obliged to. So he builds upon that, and therefore, you know, builds a people's, you know, non-violent, non-cooperative movement. And then when the soldiers enter, well, they could do different things. The first thing they could do, and now we can look at the old wisdom, you know, of the old India, China, and all those. First, you try to make friends with them, to, you know, diplomacy, and the best way is to offer them some food. And we can even have that story there, the House of Peace. Why not? And the monks serving out food. So they come up with, you know, smart people down in the small towns and the villages and the countryside and the farmers and the, you know, people good-hearted who have no interest in having a war going on or having to be involved in it. So when the men get drafted, they just disappear out in the countryside, and they have these remote villages in the forest. They become like military camouflage, but from their own government too, because they don't want to fight the war. But they also have to do something to help to stop these other soldiers that come in, who are the enemy or aggressors, as they're always called. But who may do that in order to defend their own country? You know, it's so complicated. So they have this program, inventing ingenious ways to pacify those and make friends with, say, you know, we're not your enemies. And they learn the language, and let's go eat something, you know, offer some food to them. You can't kill someone and treat them bad if you're, you know, they're just civilians. And because they are not dressed in, oh, maybe they are in camouflage, but something else that is very clear that they are not soldiers, they are peacemakers. Yeah. Maybe they are religious, spiritual also, different groups like that. And they should have some special symbol. A peace dove or something like that. Flag. So you can come to them when you're hungry. They will help you when you're hurt. Your soldiers walking around alone in the forest, you know, having all his friends are dead, you know, and he just escaped, and he's hungry, and he's wet, and he's cold, and then he gets to this place. So in this way, we can show how ordinary people can do something, can get together like that, not arming ourselves. We follow Gandhi and I'll mix up that also into it, and we bring in Martin Luther King as his speech, and we let that resound, and others like that, John F. Kennedy. Bring it to real life. So what was that third option again? I forgot, but now we are a rich guy over there. And he's financing that, making sure they have food, they have medicine, they have all of that. And since they, of course, shut off electricity and, you know, all these big power systems for the big factories that make big weapons and all of that, and ship the weapons, and shutting off the oil energy, then these people, they learn to live out there in the forest, and they pick up old traditional ways of living on the countryside, making their own stoves and cooking food and building their own little huts or tents, whatever. If they need to be mobile, they learn from the nomads of Mongolia, you know. And so on. I don't remember if I said it, but we've got China, or the, yeah, and how they, quote unquote, invade Taiwan, but how they do it by just first warning the Americans that they got 24 hours to leave, or they will die. Because there, you know, maybe a serious war situation, so it doesn't stick out, because everyone is doing these kind of heavy maneuvers, which generally is what happens, because we're talking here about build-up for a big world war. And then, poof, they do something like with this, what the Russians use now, and those who were there only have themselves to blame, but their entire presence on that island is destroyed. They have to fly home. Those who are left, hopefully they were wise enough to leave that place. And then, everyone is now waiting for an invasion of Chinese military coming in there. But there is a phone call from the big China leader to the leader saying, you know, we are the same people. We only have reasons to be the best friends. And you know, this is a wedge has been driven in between us, and well, there we can show the same, you know, the principle that has been used by these colonialists and imperialists. And of course, they agree. So they talk and they become better friends. Because sometimes, you know, when there is a challenging situation, a threat or something, then you become friends. Common enemy, but here, why do they have to see anyone as an enemy? Just, you know, you'd have nothing to do in our country because you are making us enemies. So we can bring in that wisdom there also. How it could all work out. But then, of course, there again, they are sitting with their decision making. What should we do? You know, we could do that way, we can go nuclear, we can go and invade. So we could have exactly the same situation as in the US. And then they learn from their Chinese wisdom. We know we have the Indians and Chinese military wisdom books, and you know, bring in all that. Some or other, we can use that wisdom to create a storyline, you know, based on the decisions they made, based on that wisdom, you know, like that. And India is kind of neutral, and there, you know, they can also contribute with a lot of wisdom. And of course, then we have Tulsi, character who becomes very well connected with India. And the friendship develops that way. So then, if we have that good, because this is a positive film, that good outcome. You know, we make it in such a way that we come, you know, we just went through that thing there with the president of America, and then, whoops, we go over to China and the president, you know, whatever they're called. They sit there and they talk with each other and what you will do, how to, you know, decisions, and then maybe 3-5 minute result and storyline for each of those decision points. That could be a general structure here of this. An interesting one it could be, actually. Same in Russia, same in we've got the little Koreas there. And they all, it's very much the same everywhere, so they all like follow one after another. Come on, let's just work together here and leave each other alone in peace. And that's really the, you know, we kind of, 3 times 3 times 3, so to speak. Maybe that's enough, I don't know. Start with at least. We can then show it that this will probably happen if you do this. This could happen if you did that. And so on. So the leaders could look at this also and they could get something to think about. That's pretty good, actually.